Friends, we are turning this morning to Isaiah chapter 24. Isaiah chapter 24, and I'll read the first 2 verses. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be, as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. Friends, this is where we are going to take our lesson for this morning from the gospel of God's redeeming grace. And I know Isaiah 24 is mainly about judgment, the judgment to come. Friends, if there's anything that we need to remind ourselves of in this world, it's about the judgment to come. We need to constantly remind ourselves that there's a coming judgment and be prepared for it. And okay, some kind of free Isaiah no man, it is your new N9. Now, as someone I did not work on any, if we have to say, yeah, everybody, any atemua, a woho, and I make us say, I think beer will be as you say, Timmy Kane de Biana, a Sassimia. As someone I think beer, I say, Kakaya, ah, if you see a camp once, any atemua, everybody, ah, yes, in a obedient moon. So Isaiah 24 proclaims the end of this world. We know that this world is temporary. It will come to an end. And the Bible has always warned us, time again and again and again, about the end of this world and how we must be ready for it. If you go to Isaiah right from 13 through to 23, it's all about warnings to the nations, against the nations. See, God was always warning them. That is why we say that was the work of prophets. They were warning against sin and God's anger and the wrath to come. Always. It wasn't about anything. It was always about sin and God's anger with sin. So here we see that the warnings were given to Babylon, Damascus, the capital of Syria, Moab, the Philistines, Egypt, Ethiopia, and Arabia, Jerusalem, and Judah. He sent warnings to all these people as to how he's coming to destroy them. And then finally, when he came to Isaiah chapter 24, here he sums it all up that he's going to destroy the whole world. He's going to show that this world, he created it. He has power over every nation. Some people think he's the God of the Jews. No, he is not a tribal God. He's the God of the whole world. He has the power to destroy. And we are coming to know why he has the power to destroy the world, and why he's coming to destroy the world, and how to be prepared for that day. Then we can say, okay, chapter 13 now, verse 23 now, or the Kokobo, Emma, and my man for no more home. It's the Babylon, Damascus, Ethiopia, Philistines, Egypt, even Jerusalem, Saudi Arabia. Oh, we now, and I go on the Esma, the difference, Omonko. So, I'll be back at home. And I make us say, and no need a juman make us say, a D for ye. A D for no one shall come say, a deeper abrabum was him. Tempia, no more canyon coupon, a cockable, and a juman no more. In the all matter, I want you waiting on, and at 24, I feel a better say, apart from say, obese, a man, obese, we are seeing an answer. And I make us say, obese, we are seeing this, say, we are seeing an answer, Lydia. Or yet, you for one quantity. We are seeing in action, or in a boat we are seeing. It is also very serious here, obeying me, I say, in reality. So Isaiah 24 speaks of God's judgment coming generally on the whole earth. Maybe the next time we'll have the opportunity, we'll go through 25 and 27, which deal with the joy and the delight of the righteous in the salvation of God. 24 handed here, or can't attain more, everybody, we are seeing so. Maybe next time, see, in a coin, I'll be here 25, but I'll be 27. ɛno nso wɔka ani yi a ɛbɛba ma ɔmo a ɔmo abɛyɛ ahotefoɔ ɔmo a ɔmo anya nkwagye ɔmo nso deɛ onyankopɔn bɛyɛ ama wɔn. In the next time, when we have the opportunity, we'll talk about that. But today, we are looking at this complex and deep and powerful chapter 24. It talks about the destruction of the whole earth and then the establishment of God's reign in Jerusalem. So our task for today is judgment for the earth, joy for the righteous. Judgment for the earth, joy for the righteous. And then after man niti atemu a ewo ho ma asafie so eni dia ewo ho ma ahotifo eni ho asem na ye babeka. Na start 24 yi e ka se de e wi ase na e be se de ho asem se de medika aka no. Na se wo ko abakose mu a God always gives us a picture of what is going to happen in the last day. So there are so many types of this great event. I'll just give a few. When you go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, what did Christ say? He said, as the day of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So as it was, so will it be. So the make a couple of things be a way to change the chain. So the area will be. Now, back on any day, yes, you can know Matthew 24, verse 37. Or say, so the no one ran a year, you know, sign a million so a day. Sign a year so a man a beba. And to Jim say, no what time, the dear Ben, the buy, and see, I was seeing the end of the year. No what time, no, Nakupo catch you, no what I want catch you as a phone in our day, or the savior. Or the ensue a year ever be saying yes because of a deeper body. Today, when people hear about this judgment to come, I hear many people say, oh, these things have been said so many years ago, it has never happened, so it won't happen. People were saying the same thing in Noah's time. They thought Noah was mad. For 120 years he was preaching, and people didn't listen to him. Finally, it happened. The flood came, many souls perished, except eight souls were saved. And our time is no different. That's what Christ is saying, that as it was in Noah's day, so shall it be in the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So 24 is talking about judgment on the earth because of the wickedness of man. Any pabonity and amata asemi ebeba. Because of him, human sin. To hear verse 10, or see the city of confusion, he's talking about human beings, is broken down. Every house is shut up. Then when you go to verse 12, he says, in the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. You see, an army led by Christ is coming. An army of soldiers coming with Christ from heaven. He is the righteous King of kings and the Lord of lords. He will ride at the head of these people and lead them to come and destroy the Antichrist. Anything against the truth will be destroyed. He said the same thing in Revelation chapter 19, verse 19. Revelation 19, verse 19. He said, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Brother, please, can you read that portion for me in Jesus? Revelation 19, verse 19 to 20. Who are these people that the Bible is talking about? Look at this well. Especially verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that have received the mark of the beast and worship his image. You see, here he's talking about those who do false miracles, pretended miracles, and they are deceiving people. That's why I said earlier on that the prophets were sent by God to always give warnings about sin. They never did divination. They never told people about their future. A believer lives by faith. People go about doing pretended miracles, and the moment people see the miracles, they think they are God's people, and they are deceiving them. These are the people that he says that they were bound into the lake of fire. Now he's talking about kings of the earth. People now think that you can go to the palace and pour libation. I've seen so many people who are elders in churches, and yet they hold positions in the palace. They go and bow down. And we all know that in our king's chief palaces, they are idols. They go there, bow down, and pour libation, and still come to church and say they are elders. Or some are even pastors. They preach. These are the people that he's talking about. And then, you know, we call and you fear. And if I be brave, or no more, or more here, or more, or go out for a chammy, go out your country in it, or go goon son, ever him fear. Not time, but now I saw them say, why peace with you. I'm not come once. And when they are pouring the libation, they are even calling God. You see how they are watering down the Almighty, the Holy, Holy, Holy One. They poured the libation. The other time when I saw the Ashanti King celebrating his birthday, I saw big priest pastors with their colors, all of them there. What are they doing there? They think that you can mingle Christianity with all those worldly things. They are the ones that he's warning that they will be cast into the lake of fire. Those who claim that they are doing pretended miracles. And they will quote the greater works as their proof that they must do greater works. There are some few months ago, I preached here, and after the preaching, a man came to the office and was arguing with me that the greater works he's talking about is not what I was saying. I was talking about the greater works being the gospel that we are going to preach for so many years, which Christ did for a few years. So it means that ours will be greater. And the man never agreed with me. So the question I was asking the man is that, can you point to me one miracle that you have done more than what Christ did? You personally, because you say you are a miracle worker, can you point to me one miracle that you have performed that is greater than what Christ did? The man, well, I know it was a lie, but he told me that he had raised the dead to life before. So I said, okay, I know it's not true, but let's take that even it's true. Is it greater than what Christ did? Even if you have done that, Is it greater than what Christ did? So obviously, it can't be that. It can't be those miracles that they are talking about. It can only be the gospel, the greatest miracle of changing a sinner's heart to become a saint. That is the greatest way. And people are doing all these things and they think that they are gospel. Anointed men, calling themselves big names. They are the ones that the Bible is warning here, that they will all be cast into the lake of fire. The American said, I have no Bible, no air one. So, I'm from here in Tensheni. 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 And now, if you say, on share me, if you are seeing one, will be a working name miracle, a change, yes, be. And on look at you, say, when Yanni will open. And so, meaning, so, what? Necessary, I'm pampo now. When Yanni will fua, now when Yanni say, yes. Meanwhile, the operating I am, a change, yes, be. And one is, if you be preaching for so many years, Christ preached for 3 years. So those are the ones that he's warning here, that they will be cast into the lake of fire. Those who do pretended miracles, and the clergy, those who say they are God's people, and yet they are involved in politics, they are involved seriously in worldly things, they are the ones that he's talking about. He said they were made prisoners and condemned to suffer in the hands of justice. So now, this shows that the history of the human race will come to an end. So now let's come to our chapter and digest it. The first thing we see is that the judgment extends to all nations, the whole earth. Atemun Yehu Mahani said, Ebeko Yasida, here to appear people saying that Christ died for his people in Israel, not here. But here we are seeing from verse 1 to 6. That the judgment covers the whole earth. Look at verse 1 to 6. The judgment of God. He said, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it outside down, and casteth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with the master, with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, and so on and so forth. So here we are seeing that it is a judgment for all nations, wherever you are, whoever you are, whether you are a master, whether you are a priest, whether you are a servant, whether you are a buyer or a seller, all of them will be judged. So here we can see that the judgment is also for the whole world. Look at verse 5. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the law, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore has the curse divided the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burnt, and few men left. So we see how God's judgment is extending to all nations, the whole earth. And really, this is an extreme statement that the whole world will come to an end, will be destroyed. Look at how he says, behold. And you see, when you're talking about the word behold, it's not like you see it with your eyes. You can only see it with faith. You believe that this is coming from the Bible. God is not put it there for nothing. He knows. We need to be reminded, we need to be taught about this thing, that the coming wrath. So we are going to see the sovereign power of God, that the whole world is under his sovereignty. He has the power to judge the whole world, and he said he's going to lay it waste. He's going to, the entire earth, he is going to devastate all the earth and the inhabitants and everybody in it. So God, like I said, is not really just a tribal deity. Onye o nyankopon a oyɛ Israelfo nko nyankopon. Oyɛ wiase nyinaa enyankopon. Nti wɔde atemu eba wiase nyinaa. Ɔse he will rule the world, he will destroy everything. Look at verse 3. The land shall be utterly empty and utterly spoiled. And the one who goes by this verse 18-20, he says, the foundation of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be moved like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall, and not rise again. This is what the Lord is going to do to the whole creation. I'm sure by now somebody will be wondering why what has the earth done that God is going to destroy it, or where does God get this power to destroy the whole world? I'm sure most of you understand, but in case you are in doubt, let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. What does it say? Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form. The earth was without form and void. Jeremiah also was teaching about this same thing in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 24 to 26. And he said, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord, and by his fierce anger. So God has the power because he is the creator. He created it right from the beginning to start it. So he knows how he created it and he knows how to dissolve it. So he has the power to do all these things. Now let's look at another thing, that the judgment is universal. Judgment, no one can escape. Look at verse 2. No one will escape. He says, and it shall be with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with the master, as for the servant, as with the maid, so with the mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller. Obiara, everybody is universal. The judgment is to everybody. The high and mighty in society, no matter how big you are, God has no respect of your position, of your riches, of your wealth. No. The high and mighty will come under this judgment. In the same way as the meek and the lowly will also come under this judgment. It will be time for the high, the same time also for the low. Everyone in this world is under the gaze of God. God sees everybody. God knows everybody's heart. And the answer and the person does. So whether you are a king or a pauper, whether you are rich or poor, you are going to face this judgment. Now, the next thing we see from verse 4 is that verse 4 shows why this thing is going to come. Why is God going to do all these things? Verse 4 only says, I didn't see the Yakupon, if you have our new album, any power no album, now see us, I have a sale. The answer is in verse 4. He says, the earth money and faded away, the world languishes and faded away, the haughty people of the earth do languish. Why? Because of human sin. Look at what he's saying here. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws. They have transgressed the law. They have changed the ordinances. They have broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, has a curse devoured the earth. And they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. That's another point that we are going to discuss soon. So the judgment of God comes because of human sin. Because he says we have broken the everlasting covenant. We have broken the everlasting covenant. So which covenant have they broken? Let's ask ourselves, which covenant? We all know what a covenant is. A covenant is much more stronger than a contract. A covenant can never be broken. Contract can be broken, can be terminated. But a covenant can never be broken. It's an agreement between the two, and it comes with some condition. So that is a covenant. And there are so many covenants that God made in the scripture. So which one is he talking about here that the human beings have broken? First, we can talk about the covenant of Noah, between God and Noah, especially after the flood, when he said he's no more going to destroy the world with flood as he has done. Here, well, there was also some moral requirement there, because in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, it says, if any man shed blood, by man shall his blood also be shed. So here, at least, there's some moral requirements there. So people think that is the covenant that he's talking about, and it could be. Then there are some other covenants too. The one with David, for example, he said he will set one of David's descendants on the throne forever. But here, I don't agree that can be the covenant, because it's got nothing to do with that. It was between him and David. We had no part to play. But there's an everlasting covenant, because all the other covenants that we have talked about, when it comes to the book of Hebrews, it says that they were all temporary, they were obsolete, they were aging, so they will come to pass. So obviously those can be the covenant that God is talking about. I will go for the covenant that God talked about in Romans chapter 2 verse 15. Romans chapter 2 verse 15, where it says that Gentiles who shield the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else accusing one another. So here is the covenant in our heart, in our conscience, in our heart. God has put it in our heart right from birth. There's nowhere in this world, go to even the tiniest village in a remote area, and they all know about sin. The American said, "Yangu pon osi denti odi se bufu e bani se enjisheya anase contrast ya oni e ayenu yebusu eni yekase enjisheya ben yebusu enjisheya bebri ohon ma oni ni payenu babu na jamili gidi ni se enjisheya wajeni se de e wo yakumemu ya wo be liyasi na ano odi ashe wakumemu. It didn't ask from the boy, see, we've been to Korea. Well, we're going to go on over. And I will be after 3 months. Once I go to America, I see, we'll keep going for. We'll keep going in there with conscience. Your conscience either accuses you or accuses you. So we have that covenant with God, the covenant in our conscience, where we know what is good from what is bad. So here, I think this is the covenant that we have broken, the covenant of our conscience, which we know when we do wrong, and yet we do it. Because if you go to Romans 1 verse 21, it says, because that they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. You see, and then a few words later in 25, it says that, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the Creator more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So you see, we are breaking the covenant of our own conscience when we know God and then we are worshiping idols. When we know God, we are worshiping worldly things. This is the covenant that we are broken, and this is what makes God angry, and he's coming to destroy the whole world. So this is the everlasting that the people have broken. Everybody, no one, no human being on earth can say that he hasn't broken this covenant. So because we have broken the violation of their consciences, we have sinned. Because we know in our heart, and yet we do it. Nobody in this world, go to places where they don't even know about Christ. They have never heard about Christ before, and yet they know sin. They know that if you do this, it is a sin. So that is what we have broken. The covenant of the internal written covenant in our conscience. This is what we have broken. And then that one we can say that is both for Jews and Gentiles, everybody. whoever you are. So we are breaking the covenant, and therefore we are becoming worthy. That is why the Bible says there's no one that does good. That's how we are now. No one does good. Everyone is evil. And that's why God's covenant, God's judgment is coming. Let me also clear this. We have violated the covenant. So why is God going to punish both the human being and the earth? Why? Let us get the answer from Romans 8, verse 20 to 21. Romans chapter 8, verse 20 to 21. So he said, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not by it willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You see, but creation is groaning. Creation is cursed. Creation will be judged because of human sin. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, right there, God cursed the earth. So this terrifying judgment is both for human beings as well as the earth itself. But God being who he is, in the midst of all these things, God reminds people of his mercy. In the midst of this terrifying judgment and all the anger of God, God still has mercy. Look at verse 6. It says, therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned. And look at the last phrase, and few left. In the midst of all these things, there are few who will be left. The American said, let me just say, Obeka said, I didn't think I said, any fan as I have born here, not as I have been so, and I hope also best selling so I can. We may be ready to say, I see what he said. And American said, tell me, Adam, if you have born here, the whole one, Onyankopon ekeze asase. Nti na asase ni nipa nyina ene bese. Ena meka te wenye chi no. De ma na ye jeni se. Onyankopon na esa kai isa na homo broti no. O san kai ni nipa. E ti se wo hwe verse 6 na. Please can you read the verse 6 for me?
Ase a homa chi e e duga na e nsia na se. E ti na no man amen as I say, not a suitor for this room. It's not as I say, for a share, not a so and a summer to a
strong. I can't get to a I can't crave. That means, in the midst of all these things, there are some people that God will leave, God will save from this destruction. Are you going to be part of it? Are you part of these people? That's what we must always think about. And these people, the Bible calls them remnants. Remnants. Notice that you say they are few in number. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. They are few in number. Now, how did they get to be there? Those people, how did they become remnants? We are going to talk about that later on. But I want us to go to from verse 7. He said the end of worldly joy. From verse 7. You know that in this world, many people would like to suppress their conscience by worldly joy. They think, they don't want to, when they think about judgment to come, instead of pondering over it and asking God, what must I do to be saved from this? No, let's go and party. Let's go and have our drink. Let's go and enjoy ourselves and forget about our souls. That's how human beings are now. But here God is saying that all those things will be over. There will never be any worldly joy which people are going to use to cover up the judgments to come. It is not time to party anymore. Look at verse 7 to 12. The new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth. All the merry hearted do sigh, the mirth of Tabret ceased. The loins of them that rejoice ended. The joy of the half ceased. They shall not drink wine with the song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shattered, that no man may come. There is a crying for wine in the street. All joy is darkened. Look at that. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. In the city, there is desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. See, people always seek escape in worldly pleasures. It is probably brave, but some of Chris are a human. Normally, in San, any a human, a San, or maybe say no, and a bit more on your feet. Who will see yourself or hostel? So, one of them is Sambo, assembly house, not a couple of them in Samboa, and sanity with this assembly hall. If you don't think I want a moon park, I will wait me after credit, so I'm a seminal. What's your home? But what is that time now? I have a coincidence. Time where I call the dream at seminal, we have a coincidence. Tell me, if you pay me, we can go for money warning. No, the Virginia was so Yamedian. I mean, yeah, I'll be free. Muno, yet the Corinth, say the Bayah, Yan Kaidi, and go for some more. Okay, no, see, a better man, if you do on the science, and I know my M. Would you for no? Would you make a tonium M. will be answer? Would you make a year? Or say there will be no worldly joy? It's a serious time for destruction, and that's what people must think about. People seek escape with a worldly pleasure, they are seeking escape from their guilt and from the coming judgment, and they would dull their tent with alcohol and merrymaking. But there's going to be a time that this is, that's why he says in verse 11, all joy is darkened. It is not only us. In biblical times, all those things were going on, especially when you go to chapter 22 of Isaiah, we're not turning there. But God called the people of Israel that they should weep and wail and tear off their hair and put on sackcloth. When God told them this, do you know what they did? Instead of that, they went to have party. They slaughtered sheep and cattle and drank and sang. And in their merrymaking, do you know what they said? They said, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. People say that these days all the time. Yenyeli or Chaniyeu. People think that is a way to deal with the destruction that is coming. It's very, 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 very sad. We have the same thing in Daniel chapter 5 with Belshazzar's feast. He threw a big party when the walls of Babylon had been surrounded by the Medo-Persian army. They were about to conquer them. Instead of finding solution to the surrounded place, he had a party. He was throwing party. And people, he thought, by throwing the party, I don't know whether he thought it would drive away the army. The same thing we are doing now. Instead of thinking about what God is saying and praying that God will show us the way, we forget about it. So now here he says the time for drinking is over. God shuts the pleasure. You can never enjoy those things again. And as I said, it happens again and again and again in history. Even in Jerusalem, it happened. When the gate was battered down and the people were in, they were having parties. So in Isaiah 24, he's warning about all these things. But the time is coming when man cannot do that. God's wrath is on all the earth. His wrath is against all their enemies, the people who are working against God. Except the remnant, those who God will save from this coming wrath. And maybe you'll be wondering what will be the solution to it. Sometimes, when something happens, when disaster happens, all what God is telling us is that we should come to Him. This world is a doomed world. It will be full of those things until the final day. The solution is to come to be under Christ. As he was talking about lower side. The solution at that time was to come into the ark. Enter the ark. And remember, when the ark was full, God himself locked it from outside. So that even if Noah wanted to open somebody, he couldn't. But only God had the key. The same thing is for us today. If you want to avoid these things, come to Christ. He is the only one. He is the one bringing the army. And he is the one who can show you the way to be saved from that sin. Remember, some people went to ask Christ when Pilate slaughtered some of the people when they were, who were going to offer sacrifice. So they were asking, what have they done? What sin have they committed? Look at what Christ said. He said, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinless above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So if you are thinking that those people who were perished is for them but not for you, he's saying that if you don't also repent and come to be under Christ, you also likewise perish. Friend, there's no any accidental conference or cities or any disaster. They are all ordained by God, and they are all as warnings to us. So what should we do? That's what Christ said. He take a lesson from history, repent, and deal seriously with the God who is bringing this judgment. That is the brief biblical answer. Then we are going to talk about the remnant, the few that he said will be left. So in the middle of all this terrifying chapter, we have this comforting where people praising God. In the midst of all these things that they were going through, there were people who were praising God. Look at verses 13 to 15. Says, when that it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore, glorify ye the Lord in the fire, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the land. So you see, we have these godly remnant people who are praising God. And in the midst of all these things, we see them praising God. So who are those people? All around the world, there are going to be people who will be praising God in the midst of all these things. If we are seeing now, baby, in the Bible, all the more, or say, yeah, you know, a cousin, on the only cousin, when you're cooking, I. And where do those people come from? The answer is found in Romans chapter 11, verse 5. It says, even so, then, at this present time, also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. As there were people praising God in the midst of all those terrifying wrath, in our days, he's saying the same thing, that there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Because we are not in the teaching service, I can't go deeper into the election, the grace, but we know it is God who saves people. It is by his grace. No human being can please God. It is all by his grace. By his grace, some people will be saved. That is what he's saying. He's saying that. So the sovereign grace of God goes ahead his judgment. And then he works in the life of those who he has elected, and then transforms them and rescue them from the wrath to come. Isaiah chapter 33 verse 10 says that, he says, say to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. He's talking about the righteous. So where did they come from? We are going to see very soon. And why were they praising? Why was their reaction when people are being destroyed? Why were they happy and praising God? The first reaction, they said, to celebrate. They sang for joy. They praised the Lord for his grace. They praised him for his mercy, for his power, and for his judgment. Because by the help of Christ, they are perfect. They have become, that is why he called them righteous, remnant. you have become righteous. Nobody is righteous except those who are in Christ, where Christ has imputed his righteousness unto them. And because of Christ, they can be called righteous. Nobody can on their own be holy enough to please God. It is all by their grace. So where do they come from? They came from the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel that we are preaching. The gospel that Noah preached. The gospel that Moses preached. The gospel that has been preached from generation to generation. Those who listen and turn to God, they are the people that he's talking about. Those are the ones who will be saved when the time comes. They turn away from their wickedness. By the grace of God, they turn from their wickedness, and then they also have become righteous because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God sent his only begotten Son to come into this world to die, to save us from our sins, because that was the only way that sins could be pacified before God. Blood must be shed, and not an ordinary blood, it must be the blood of a sinless person. There's no human being on earth who was sinless. God has to come himself to become man without sin, and then he can offer his blood. So people who have been heeding to this gospel are the ones who have been saved. Omwa ji yesu asem nedi enipa esan se boni a adam ye yinti no ese se empata bi eba awo ye ni o yakopo ntem ta empata na bi hwie moja bu ne moja na ye moja ese ye moja so boni bi eni ene obi ase ni wiase aboni ni ni mu enti onipa bi eboja ntimi bi pasa aboni na ji se yesu nko ese se yakopo na kata na o ye yakopo oba bi se nipa na e moja ba ni mu enti na oba ma mary wo no se de be ya oba ye nipa and moja wonu or the moja no at the part the body na my into omo omo tis after no omo gidi e na omo do mo ma yesu omo na say come master omo na say omo e praise you o yakopon. So the question again, does this include you after now that you are listening to today? Have you given your life to Christ sincerely from your heart? Are you born again? Can you see the sign of a born again person in your life? This is what you must think of. Now there's a second reaction here too. He said, verse 16, he said, but I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yes, the treacherous have dealt very treacherously. Here, we can see that Isaiah is very distressed about something. And what is he distressed about? There are two possible things that Isaiah is distressed about. And obviously the first thing is that he feels for those people who are being destroyed, because he's also a human being. They are his people. So he feels for them. Paul shows the same thing in Romans chapter 9. Paul says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great heaviness and continuous sorrow in my heart. For as we that I myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul saying this, said, Anka obenyan for no prano yun kunum, because I any yak sending crop for echo or saying you. And you know, if it never said, as I am talking about camp, anything or cancer, sending crop for echo or saying you, no, I any yak, he feels for the people who are going into destruction. The same thing, Christ also wept for Jerusalem when they wouldn't listen to him. When he wants to keep them as a hen keeps his chicken, and yet they won't allow. That's there's another thing too. Isaiah 2 may be saying that God, let this happen as early as possible, as soon as possible. Because why? Because you see, he was talking about the treacherous people, wickedness, how wickedness abounds. The American is there, Isaiah, a man now all can FMB, I say nipa na yes one earlier in the Osuma on. FMB so no, I say okay na go boss omran ten tempura. Omba yes how the tem, omba say we are seeing them. If you say nipa body for abediation. And I'm sure all of us know this. The wickedness is going on and on and on. There are things that are happening now that you would never, from years ago, you would never think it would happen. And it's happening. So what is going to happen next? Like I always say, even in our health. Look at what is happening. AIDS, Ebola, COVID. Now they say there's another one now, right now, some kind of serious malaria. You see, so we see how the world is going. And then the wickedness of people, people in authority, how they are using our resources to enjoy themselves while many people are suffering. The clergy have joined hands with them. So there's wickedness. So personally, I wish Christ comes, because that would be the only solution. It is never going to get better. It's the doom world. It's going to get worse and worse and worse every day. So the solution is Christ coming to end all these things. So it could be that that's what Isaiah is saying, that God must come and do this as quickly as possible. Friends, outside of Christ, you can never escape this judgment. If you are not in Christ, this judgment will come to you by all means, no matter what you do. And that is what he says in verses 17 to 22 as we are getting closer to the end. He says, fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth is shaken. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it. So you see, you can never escape it. They are pits, they are fears, they are pits, they are snares. So if you avoid one, the other one will get you. If you avoid the other one will get you. So there's no escape. The only solution is to come to Christ. There's nothing you can do. You have to come to Christ. And as I said earlier on, as it will happen in Noah's day, no one escaped. It's only those who entered the ark. They are the only ones who were saved. In the same way, you can never escape the judgment to come and the destruction except you are in Christ. So outside of Christ, there's nowhere that you can escape. As I said, for the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. So you see, the whole world will be destroyed, and no one can escape apart from those who have Christ in them. I think time is running. Let me just rush it. And verses 19 to 20 also talk about the whole world that will be, the whole earth that will be destroyed. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10 to 12 also says, and thou, Lord, in the beginning have laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as does a garment. And as a vessel shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. You see, so the whole earth will be destroyed. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 also says that, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That is what 2 Peter also says. Now verse 21 talk about the satanic powers, the heavenly powers. They will also be judged. And he says, in that day the Lord will punish the powers in the heavens above and the kings of the earth below. And who are these people? The powers in the heavens above, they got punished. Why? Because they are wicked. See, so people who believe in this sorceries and all these, the witchcraft and so on, they are wicked. So they'll be punished. They are the ones that the Bible is talking about. And they are all working for Satan. And there are many, many people, as I said earlier on, who are using the scriptures to do this. And people think they are godly people. They are the ones that he's talking about, that they will all be destroyed. None will be left. Because they are working against God and against God's will. That is why he said in the Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Those are the people he's talking about, those in the heavenly realm, wicked people. They are wicked people, but they pretend to be God's people. They are the ones fighting against God's people. And they are the ones he's talking about, that they will meet their end. He's going to judge them. He's going to hit them and punish them. And then finally, we see from verse 23 that we have the new Jerusalem in Zion. God is now going to rule. You see, then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his ancient glory. So God is going to set up his own city where we don't need this moon, we don't need the sun. God will rule us directly if we are able to go through all these judgments to come. God is going to rule among his people with truth and with holiness. Revelation 21 verse 1 says that, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. See, the old one is gone. We saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and he shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So you see, we are going to have life from heaven direct. We will be part of this. Are you ready for it? Do you want it? Once you are not dead, there's time for you now. So what shall we do as we come to our conclusion? And the answer is 2 Peter chapter 3. He said that, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You see, Peter said, it's the same way now at ABCA, and then it's all yet. So we say when you never see her, and then it's all yet. No, but so Chase, as I said, who bought Abrabacon, Abrabacon Crown, Abrabah is so on your complaint. The better not me, I am, and this is all the woman is. You can never be holy on your own. Meanwhile, the Bible says, be holy because I'm holy. It says, without holiness, no one can see God. But how can you be holy when you were born in sin? When you are trapped, you see, in sin, except you come to Christ, except you give your life to Christ, and he will liberate you from the power of sin, from the power of Satan, and the power of this world. 1 John chapter 3 says, you should purify yourself from the evil that is bringing this judgment on the earth. Purify yourself, because the judgment will come because of evil. So friends, the world is going to end. Everything in this world is going to come to an end. Are you ready? If you are ready, keep on. Keep on with the work of the kingdom. Continue being who you are. If you are not sure, thanks to God, you are not dead. Do it today, wherever you are, bow down your head, pray to Christ, ask him to forgive you of your sins, and give you a new birth. Flee to him, and he is the only one that can save you.